Welcome into another Saturday edition of The Beacon. Start doing those.
I know. You're getting punchy over there.
I'm telling you. I was flying on a plane, and I have Lincoln, who was a guide dogs, you know, certified guide dog. And there was a woman who came up from Florida with me, and she had a guide dog in training.
Aww.
It was a little 8-year old.
8 years old?
8 month old. Oh. I'm sorry. 8 month old little Labrador puppy.
Oh, baby.
And her name was Punky.
Oh, my God.
And Punky was so sweet and just as well behaved as Lincoln.
Oh, that's so great. I love those puppies in training.
They are so good.
Precious,
you know?
I know.
I even like them when they're smaller and you get that puppy breath and those sharp teeth and all that good stuff.
I know. They're so sweet.
But
such good companions.
Good companions. We got a full show, most of it internal.
Yeah.
With the exception of our first guest.
Yes, absolutely.
He's a Canadian researcher, and he is out of the Children's Hospital.
Oh.
Up in Canada, in Toronto.
We've had a couple of Canadians on this month.
We have.
Good for us branching out.
And his research has been in the area of curing corneal... What was it?
Anesthesia.
Corneal anesthesia, which means the eye doesn't move. He has no sensation in it.
Okay.
And it's because of nerves.
Interesting.
And he explains about nerve grafting and how that's all going to work to help people out.
Fascinating.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's really a cool thing.
Awesome.
And then?
We got our friend Sandy Murillo, who's going to be giving us another view of hers from Sandy's View.
Right.
Another interesting topic, as always.
Which is the title of her blog that she features in our Beam newsletter from the Chicago Lighthouse.
Absolutely.
And I can't say enough about her, because she is absolutely terrific. And then...
Then you've got...
Do we have the Mediocre 15 this week?
No Mediocre 15. I'm actually going to talk about my favorite... items at Trader Joe's.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
now?
I am. I really am, because I love Trader Joe's, and it's an affordable alternative to even traditional grocery stores.
Right.
I mean, yes, you've got your kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Your big, healthy grocery store that sort of dominates the market, you know.
Right.
But, it's pricey, and it's not accessible to everybody again. So Trader Joe's
cool.
is accessible, and it's actually even more affordable than most traditional grocery stores. So I'm going to be going over my list of favorite things from TJ's.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That sounds good. And then finally, of course,
we've got our friend Tom and Brian.
We will be back and then getting more information about nerve grafting right here on The Beacon. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is peace around?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about. But a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. The fastest and most convenient way to apply is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Welcome into our program. This morning we're going to talk about, let me introduce the guest first here, because I want to ask him a pointed question that if I ask it first and then go to him, you won't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Dr. Ali, who is with the Children's Hospital up in Toronto. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell me now, the affliction that we're talking about, the has to deal with the cornea, which is kind of opposite of what we deal with. We talk a lot about retinal problems down on the program here.
Right.
But I'd like to get more information about this, because I was mentioning to you off the air that I had known somebody who had the this affliction. Is it a widely known affliction of the eye, or is it basically something that's kind of restricted to a small number of people?
It's relatively rare.
Okay. Can you explain a little bit about it, and then how you went about your research? It has to do, I know, with the nerve ending, doesn't it? Something.
That's right.
Now, was it from the is the nerve taken from one eye to the other, or is it removed from another part of the body?
The nerve. So that when the cornea has no feeling, you have to give it some sensation. So the nerve that we use, it comes from the leg, mm-hmm. called the sural nerve. And then we connect it to the eye that's affected to another nerve somewhere else on the face.
Okay.
That has feeling. And then the nerves grow down this nerve graft and into the eye.
Okay, let's talk about the disease itself now. Does it show up primarily in children at as something that could be that would have to be dealt with?
It shows up in both adults and children. In children, it can show up from birth, or because of an injury to the head or a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And in adults, its most common cause is actually from herpes simplex, a viral infection of the eyes.
Right.
It's a cold sore virus. And they can also get it from either brain tumors or from injuries to the head.
What made you take an interest in this to actually work on it and come up with a solution to helping correct the problem?
I've looked after a number of children with this problem, and what happens is because of the lack of feeling, they get infections, they can get scarring, and they get loss of sight, and it's usually gradual over many, many years.
Okay.
And they're very difficult to treat by normal means, so I was always looking for a better way to treat this.
Okay, so there's absolutely no feeling at all in the cornea prior
to
this procedure.
Yeah, there's a range. There's some people who have a reduced sensation, but the ones that are most severely affected have no feeling at all.
Now, how does that affect their vision? In which way does it hinder them to see, or does it?
What happens is when you have any sort of minor scratch or injury, it can leave scarring, and it can get infected very easily because it doesn't come to attention because there's no pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lack of nerve sensation also affects the healing. So you end up getting a lot of scarring on the cornea,
okay.
and that blocks the passage of light into the eye.
Okay.
And that's how it reduces vision.
When you do the procedure that you do with the nerve grafting, would somebody need to, if they do have a scarred cornea in there, would they need to do like an artificial corneal implant, or is there some way to let them continue to use the cornea that they originally were born with?
So what we've done is when they have a lot of scarring, they would need to have a corneal transplant.
Mm-hmm.
But without any feeling, the corneal transplant doesn't heal properly.
Okay.
We have had one patient now who's had a transplant after our procedure, and it's been going well.
So
it's in restoration of sight.
So you got your fingers crossed that it's going to continue to show progress and continue to make.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah. How many patients have you had that you've actually done the nerve grafting on?
Nine.
And what kind of age ranges are we looking at?
Between about 3 and the oldest is in mid-30s.
Mid-30s? Oh, okay. So you run the whole gamut then, from
yeah.
childhood right on up through adulthood and that. Where do you see the research that you've done? Where do you see it going, and how widespread do you think it's going to become?
The research, what we're trying to look at right now, I guess in the patients that we've treated, we were trying to see how the nerves actually grow in the eyes, so we're taking images there, and trying to figure out how they perceive what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because the area in which you take the nerves from is on the forehead, for example, in most of the patients, but they end up eventually feeling in the eye. So that's really interesting how the brain is able to determine that it's the eye that sensation is coming from, even though the nerve is situated in the forehead. And we're also looking at different models of nerve growth to see exactly how this process happens in the eye.
How long have you been doing this research?
We've been 2 years now.
2 years. What kind of a tracking are you looking for over how many years before you actually present it as a you know, like in America, to the Food and Drug Administration to become an accepted procedure?
It's been published scientifically. I don't think it does not need to go to the FDA as a surgical procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been presented internationally. I don't believe it needs to go to the FDA for it to be done there. There's no special device that's involved, really.
Okay, so
it's more of a surgical technique.
I see. When you, because you've done it for 2 years and you've seen the results of the nerve grafting, could it change over a period of time? Would the patient need an additional nerve grafting later?
Well, we've had one patient who had some initial growth and decreased, and that's one of them. The others, some of them have been recently, so they're still improving. But of the others that have been done in the past, they've all maintained what they've had initially. Maintained what they've achieved.
What they've achieved. The vision that the patient has prior to the procedure, is it any less, or does it any less than it would be after the procedure?
That hasn't happened. So everyone has been the same or improved slightly.
Wow, that's very interesting. You've been doing this now for 2 years, and it's up at the Children's Hospital in Toronto. Well, Dr. Ali, I really appreciate you taking time to visit with us and talk to us about this procedure. Do you know if it's been done here in the States at all?
I think there's some groups that are interested. I haven't heard of anyone doing a full case yet.
I see.
But I'm sure it's going to be soon.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, and I wish you continued success with the procedure, and that it, you know, it proves to eliminate another eye disease or another eye problem.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
And this show is The Beacon. I'm Bill Jura.
If you enjoy listening to The Beacon, why not become part of the family? You can tell our audience about your product or service at a reasonable cost. We will even help you produce your message in a way that will capture our listeners' ear for you. By advertising on The Beacon, you will not only reach thousands of people who need and want your product or service, don't have an agency, or wouldn't know the first thing about producing a radio commercial, let The Beacon staff help you write and produce your message. Now that the economy is picking up and people are spending more on things they need, this is the perfect opportunity for you to get the word out. For more information and a free consultation, just call Bill Jurek at 312-997-3678 or email Bill at bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org. Come on, join the Beacon family and increase your sales by reaching an audience that really wants to hear your message. Call today at 312-997-3678. Again, that's 312-997-3678 or bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about, but a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. There are two ways you can apply. The fastest and most convenient way is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. Or you may call 1-800-772-1213 to make an appointment to apply at your local Social Security office or to set up an appointment for someone to take your application over the phone. Learn more about disability benefits and take advantage of the helpful Disability Starter Kit at www.socialsecurity.gov/disability. That's www.socialsecurity.gov/disability.
Welcome back to The Beacon.
I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And coming up here is a friend of ours who is not only a super terrific blogger,
She's
a great associate producer, and we're talking about Sandra Murillo. But before that, I want to let everybody know that The Beacon can once again be heard on Wednesday nights right here on Chris Radio.
Cool.
So if you miss any of the program that you like, you know, like the list that you had or anything, you can get them off of our archives shows or off the Facebook and the Twitter.
Yeah.
And then you can also get, you know, hear the show again on Wednesday if you want to, if you'd rather do it that way.
Awesome.
That. Some terrific information that you provide.
Thank you.
About healthy eating.
Yes.
And what else can I say? We're on ACB Radio. And that's about it.
Cool.
I think that's cool. And we're streaming again.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We're
streaming again. Yeah. They finally... I won't go into it.
Yeah.
But anyway...
it's a whole other topic.
Sandra Murillo.
Yes.
She's always got something interesting to say. And we're going to check in with her. Well, what is going on with me? It must be this coffee this morning.
You spilled half of this on you, so it can't really be the coffee.
Oh, thanks.
I'm just saying.
You're going to let all my little secrets out, don't you?
That's right.
Good morning, everyone. This is another edition of Sandy's View. As you have probably heard, this year marks the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA. And the city of Chicago and a lot of other cities across the United States are getting involved in different activities to promote accessibility for people with disabilities. This morning I'm joined by Zabra Goldman. She's the director of one of the tours taking place at the Chicago Architecture Foundation. And this tour is called the Must Hear Chicago. It's specifically for people who are blind or visually impaired and for their companions as well. Zabra, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure. Very happy to, Sandy.
Great, great. Tell us a little bit about the tour. You know, I know this is something that you guys probably had never done before. So give us a little bit of background.
Sure. Well, kind of to back up a little bit, Jen Messengarb, who is our Director of Interpretation and Research for the Chicago Architecture Foundation, contacted me and she said, how would you like to work on a tour for the visually impaired blind in celebration of the ADA 25 anniversary?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. I'm in. We'll do it. So we put out a call to our docent body, and we number over 400, incidentally, our volunteer docents.
Sure.
And we got a nice group of five individuals who were very, very enthusiastic about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were joining the team of with me, with Jen Messengarb, and then the other five docents. So we put together this two-hour tour, and it's about Chicago's downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We're exploring the history of the historic skyscraper,
mm-hmm.
the first ones, in other words, and then the more modern ones. And so when we had our first team meeting, if you will, we decided on the buildings we wanted to use on the tour, and we decided on the route that we wanted to use. And at that point, we divided up. Everyone, it just turned out, we had six buildings and six people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
sure.
So we each took a building, and then our second meeting was coming back and reviewing what we had each written. So this, as I say, it's a total team effort because we all put something into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of decided that the route was proper. We liked it. And so after that, now we're ready to go out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And about that time when we were ready to test it out, and that was before you joined us, Sandy, with the demonstration tour.
Mm-hmm.
About that time, we got the exciting news that we were getting these 3D models,
mm-hmm.
of the buildings we were going to be, you know, having on the tour.
Sure.
So that increased our tactile.
Uh-huh, sure.
Tactile experience for people who would take that tour. We have other things as well that are tactile, like, talking about the glass curtain wall at the federal building, you know, feeling the wall, knowing that's the outside of the building, it's not inside somewhere, and so on. Anyway, so we went out and tested the route, changed a few things, but we were at that point feeling we could have someone really take a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers, professionals. And we got consumers and professionals from the Lighthouse who who came, and you were one of them, to come and to take our tour. And after that, of course, we changed it again because we had a session afterward, and, you know, you probably want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, I and one of my other colleagues from the Lighthouse, for those of you who might be curious, you know, how is a tour possible, an architecture tour for people with visual impairments? You know, it was a combination of, like you said, tactiles, you know, the 3D buildings, the actually feeling the texture of the walls, but also the audio description. Can you go back and maybe talk a little bit about how you went about describing?
And it was a challenge, Sandy, because, you know, when we develop a tour, either by writing it or taking over a tour that we're learning, we don't do it. I do quite a bit of tactile experience on my tours because I like it. I like to, you know, even if you are sighted,
yes,
a lot of people learn in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I think it enhances the tour. So I usually do have people feel the walls of the building and so on. But anyway, we knew this was something that we really had to kind of enlarge upon,
mm-hmm.
you know. So what we do is we talk about where the building is centered. On the, like, I'll just take the example of the Federal Center, which is the one, the building that I chose to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about how it's, you know, how it's positioned on the block and what was there before, which is a solid block of office buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The Federal Center, you know, allows, because it's a very tall, couple tall buildings, it allows for a lot of space, you know, it allows for a great open space.
Sure.
And so anyway, we kind of set the stage about where we are, and then a modern building, which is what the federal building is, the federal buildings are.
Mm-hmm.
The supporting wall, the supports for some of the building are outside the building.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to go around those huge pilates or columns and just see that we're outside the building and we're going around it. So people hadn't, you know, got a better feel, I think, for the space and the kind of building it was, being
yeah.
a very square,
mm-hmm.
you know, modern kind of tower.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, I told you and a few of the other docents, you know, I think that for me personally, just like you said, feeling that some of the parts were, you know, that we're holding up the building aren't actually part of the building.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, a new realization for me,
right,
you know, because
right.
someone who's blind and actually getting able to feel, you know, the concrete, the brick and stuff. And, you know, so
yeah.
I felt like I personally got a more in-depth experience with both the combination of the tactile and the audio.
Good.
You know,
good.
Description.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another thing about the federal buildings, you know, with the 3D models, I know that, is it the post office that's the
right,
smallest?
Right.
You
mm-hmm.
know, so that was a big thing for me. You know, both of the other ones were taller,
mm-hmm.
but then, you know, with the post office, you know, being this tiny, much shorter
one
building.
One story, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that, I think that puts into perspective, you know, not just only for me, but for many people who probably, you know, have not seen these buildings or have not seen them in years or, you know, what have you.
Right, right. And I think you're absolutely right, because the one story is kind of just a perfect example of what they call universal space,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, a building with completely open floor space. And that's what the modern building allowed, because, as you say, and you're citing this columns outside the building, mm-hmm. it allowed for the things that held up the building are through the wall, mm-hmm. through the floors on the outside of the building, and therefore you end up with this wonderful space that's just gigantic. You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't get columns in the way and so on. And I think that once you experience these outside columns, you understand how that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, definitely. And now, you know, as you well know, this interview isn't just to talk about what we at the Lighthouse experience, but also to invite, you know, other people who might be interested in taking this tour. You know, I believe you had one on September 12th, and you'll be holding two other tours, one in October and one in November.
There's one October 10th and November 7th.
Okay.
And all the tours, they start at 10:30 in the morning, and they're free. But you need to sign up because there's a limited number of people who can go on the tours.
Sure.
And you do this by going to our website, which is Chicago Architecture, all one word, of course, .org. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you will see, you will be able to find the spot, hopefully, where this is advertised and sign up. And I also might add that your tour experience will probably be enhanced if you bring a sighted friend with you.
Okay.
Now, it's not necessary, certainly, but you might have a, you know, a fuller experience if you do.
Oh, for sure. For sure, definitely. And, you know, there's always that opportunity to hang out with another friend and learn more about Chicago, you know. So now, is it open to everyone or just to people who are visually impaired? And
well, I think as far as the number of visually impaired, let's put it this way. If you bring a friend, that's fine. It would count as one.
Sure.
You know, it's like because what we're trying to do is to give this really a rich experience for people who are visually impaired or blind. And so therefore, we've got quite a few staff, you know, people who are going, docents are going to be there as well as other volunteers. So if you have a friend to come along, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plus. It's a plus for you and a plus for us.
Great, definitely. And now, where does the tour start off at?
The tour starts off at the center, at our main center, at 224 South Michigan in Chicago, and we end there as well.
Okay.
So if you have a drop-off and a pickup, you know where to do that.
Great. And I know that, you know, part of the tour also involves, you know, actually exploring some of the inside of the building, like some of the tiles and some of the material. So, you know, even from there, you start getting that experience.
Right.
Of, you know.
Right.
Of
yeah.
Chicago. So.
Yeah, we start you right off.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's wonderful. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to say that this has been such a, exciting thing for us, for this team that developed this, because I think at first we were a little apprehensive because we felt we weren't going to be able to deliver what we wanted to. And so it was a challenge, but I mean, you took the tour.
I was going to say, I think you guys pretty much succeeded. You guys were up to the challenge. So, and
thank you.
I learned a lot.
You know, it's just our pleasure to be able to do this because we feel so good about. We love to give tours. We love to show off the city, and this is like one more group of people that we can show the city to and help educate because we feel our tours are very educational. We try to be.
I would agree.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Good.
Where can people find out more about the tour? I know you mentioned online.
Yeah, the website would really be the place to go because there will be a description of what it is, pretty much what I've said, but you know, it'll be repeated again.
Sure.
The meeting place, the dates, the times, and all of that. And that should be, I think, pretty much what you'll need to register.
Great. Could you repeat the name of the website again?
Sure. It's chicagoarchitecture.org.
Okay. Well, there you have it, everyone. You know, if you want to learn more about the tour or register, you can go to chicagoarchitecture.org. And for more information about this event and about other Sandy's View topics, you can visit our blog, www.sandysview1.wordpress.com. Zebra, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and good luck with the rest of the tours.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
I'm Dr. Linda Van Eldick, a biomedical scientist supported by the American Health Assistance Foundation. I'm dedicated to educating the public because it's important for all of us to understand this debilitating disease. I conduct research aimed at discovering new and effective treatments for Alzheimer's disease. This is critical because every 70 seconds, someone in America is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That's more than 1,000 people a day. Preliminary data show that exercise, a healthy diet, and keeping your mind active may help reduce your risk. At our website, ahaf.org, experts will answer your questions and address your concerns. Find out about promising research the foundation funds and learn how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for a free brochure on understanding Alzheimer's disease. That's 1-800-437-2423.
You know, you must be living under a bushel basket if you don't realize that the Cubs are moving along as far as the playoffs are concerned. We talked about different things and how baseball is such a superstitious sport. But Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White actually was part of the Cubs organization for a while, and he was lucky enough to be able to throw out the first pitch at a couple of games. Mr. Secretary, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bill. Glad to be on board, sir.
Hey, listen, you brought good luck the days that you pitched, so we want you to pitch again. You got to do something for us because we got to win tonight.
Well, normally we say wait until next year. I think this is the year.
I think you're right, too. Absolutely. How did this all come about with you throwing out the first pitch?
Well, you know, I had the great pleasure of playing 8 years in the Cub organization. And then they came with the bright idea of talking with the Cubs, Cardinals, White Sox, and asking them to allow me to throw out a ceremonial pitch while they put everything on the scoreboard promoting the organization donor program.
Sure.
And so I've traveled for the past 10 or 12 years to the Cubs, Cardinals, and White Sox, throwing out the ceremonial pitch. However, I've done a lot of minor league teams as well.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that with this organ tissue donor program, that when you're alive and well, give blood, when you're no longer here, give organs, when you've done those two things, you have made a positive impact on society, considering the fact that one person can provide life or improve the quality of life for 25 individuals.
How are we doing as far as signing up for the organ donor program?
We're doing quite well. We have passed the 6 million mark.
Wow.
By more than 2 months. And our mission is to sign up as many people as we possibly can, because you never know when there's a need. And, of course, when you have that need, you want to make sure there's an adequate supply of organs available.
Sure.
To help you, help to improve your quality of life or give you a second chance at life. And so we're doing quite well, but we want to encourage everyone to, number one, sign up for the organ tissue donor program. Sign up, become part of the voting process. The election is upon us. And through my office, we have what I'm called voter
Motor voter?
Voter,
yeah.
Which which means that while you're there taking care of your other business, you can also snap become a part of the political establishment.
I have a question for you. How late can someone, you know, if they are new to Illinois, to turn in and sign up for a state ID or a driver's license, that they can still qualify for voting? Do you have any idea offhand?
Well, 30 days prior to the election is the deadline for to register to vote.
Right.
But now I think here in Illinois, you can go to the polling place with proper identification, and it's first day registration.
I see. Okay.
And you can vote as well.
You can vote as well. Okay, good. Because I know that this is a very important election coming up.
Well, Bill, let me tell you how important it is. If you don't vote, you lose your credit rights. You cannot complain about anything in society. You
right.
know, the streets that we walk on, the food that we eat, the medicine that we consume, all those things and more. Someone in government has had responsibility of establishing the guidelines
and right.
provisions.
And
so
you know what?
Things to happen. So you have to find out who these people are. If you like them well enough, you support them. If you don't, then, of course, you don't support them.
Sure. I totally agree with you. Because when I hear people complain, I said, did you vote? And they go, well, no. I says, then you have no right to complain. You have no right to complain because you had your opportunity and you blew it. So
right.
I'm kind of brutal when it comes to that sort of thing. Not being brutal, though, is you're out, was it this week or earlier in the month for Hispanic Heritage Month?
No, Hispanic Heritage Month is tomorrow.
Okay.
12 o'clock at the Thompson Center.
Okay.
100 West Randolph, where we're going to honor the contributions of our Hispanic communities,
mm-hmm.
or individuals from the Hispanic communities. And our person we're going to honor is Javier Baez. He's the second baseman for the Chicago Cubs.
Yep.
So he'll be in town, and we'll honor him.
And you know what? He'll be really in a good mood because they'll have won again tonight. So you better be watching television tonight and have your Cub hat on and your T-shirt and all the rest of it that goes along with it.
You say the Cub hat, the uniform, what are you talking about?
Yeah, the whole uniform, man, that's for sure. I know you got a busy schedule and a busy day today. Thanks so much for dropping by to talk a little bit about baseball and a little bit about voter registration and naturally Hispanic Heritage Month. Congratulations on all of the success you're having with the organ donor program.
Thank you very much, Bill. You've been a breath of fresh air, sir.
Now get down there.
Lots of information to us all.
Thank you so much. Now get down there so the troopers don't get lonely.
Okay, Bill.
Talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis. From its simple beginnings right here on Chicago's West Side, where it was founded in 1906, it has grown into one of America's most comprehensive social service agencies, serving people who are blind or visually impaired. Today, the Chicago Lighthouse offers world-class services in vision care, adaptive technology, job training and placement, rehabilitation, education, and many other areas. As more and more elderly Americans cope with vision loss, the Lighthouse will face greater challenges in expanding its critical programs. To see how you can help, please call 312-666-1331. Or visit us at ChicagoLighthouse.org. The Chicago Lighthouse, seeing what's possible for more than 100 years.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things. And it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nah, you don't want me to sing that song.
I don't.
It's a great country song, though. We used to play it when I used to do overnights at a radio station further down the dial when they were playing country music.
Yes.
That was one of the big requests from the truckers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can you play Rub It In?
That's hilarious. You
know, so it was good. It was
really
good.
I like
when
you sing. You have this old school kind of like loungy club voice. I like it.
The lounge lizard
style.
Yeah,
I love it. little Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, Frank is rolling over in his grave. Drawing a comparison there. Yeah. But no, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I can sing in five flat. I've said this before. It's an old joke. My Stacey would tell me, get new material. But I could sing in five flats and get thrown out of all of them.
Jeez.
Oh, speaking of getting thrown out of places. Brian Hawkins is here with Tom Pertzky, and we're not going to throw him out.
We're not. We're going to let him do the thing that
they
do.
Let them come in here and do their thing. I wonder if they got rid of that swing yet on the front porch there, you know, in that little house.
Well, let's see. We are. No, probably not. In the corner? It's still, you know.
Go sit out there in your snowsuit.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome into Tom's Corner. Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
Good, Brian. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, but I hope you're in good voice, because I understand you're going to be talking later today at the American Academy of Ophthalmology. They have a conference about the future of low vision technology.
That's right. The Academy of Ophthalmology. Eye doctors here in Chicago from all over the world at McCormick Place, and all the subspecialties are represented in research and lectures and so forth. But they do have a low vision section of the American Academy. And so the chairman called me about a year ago and said, since we're going to be in Chicago, could you come and talk about the future of technology? So very seldom do I get to talk to eye doctors directly. And there's many of us with low vision or blindness who really would love the opportunity to say what we'd like to say. So here's what I'm going to say.
Okay. That's great. A little preview.
Yeah. It's, you know, I was diagnosed with Stargardt disease at 19 years old and lost central vision, first in one eye and then the other eye. It was quite an adjustment, frustration and anger and really depression. And really, the uncertainty of living with a vision loss was just so great until I found the technology of a closed-circuit television. And the video magnifier had only been invented a couple years before I lost my vision. So, but because it was older technology, I always make the joke that it was made out of stone compared to what we have today.
Right.
And so it really allowed me to go back to college and finally get my degree after 10 years of living through all of that, and then to graduate school and getting a master's degree. And it was only because of the CCTV, really, is in my mind anyway, that allowed me to read and be able to do that. And so now, being in the field for 33 years and helping so many who've been through the exact same situation, I feel I have a really good perspective on what's out there to help people. Historically, I think one of our biggest frustrations over the years was new models of equipment would come out.
Right.
And years ago, it would be once a year, and then it became twice a year. And now it seems like 15 times a year, there's a new model or something coming out. And the problem was that you, as a consumer, would spend a lot of money, $3,000 for a unit, and then somebody would come out with a new one 6 months later, and you'd be frustrated because it's a better unit.
Right.
And so I think one of the futures of technology that we've recently seen, it's just been new, is the upgradability. And so by having technology now that can be connected to Wi-Fi, if there's new upgrades that are available for products like we've talked about here, for the Prodigy, for the Victor Reader Stream, HIMS has the eBot Pro that works on Wi-Fi. Finally, we can say, okay, we bought this equipment, and most of the upgrades have been coming, they're coming for free. And so finally, we can say, okay, now we have this upgrade ability, and that's going to help. We're not going to be, you know, quite as frustrated. The low vision products, because they're made specifically for this niche marketplace, mm-hmm. have historically been very high in pricing. That has to do with several things. The distribution, that is, the manufacturers who make the products, have to go find the people who need it. And that's, they can't do both. And so they have to hire distribution channels and people who make their business available to go out in each state and find the people who need it. So the price has to be elevated so that each chain of the command makes money. And what has not been available is something that a consumer, we call it COTS, consumer off-the-shelf type of a product that's lower in price because everybody in the country uses it,
right,
has been available. So we had the first COTS this year with the Connect 12 from Humanware. Used a typical Android tablet for the first time. We've never seen that before. Although the distribution channel is still a problem, so that product is still high. But I think in the future, what we're going to see is we're going to start seeing consumer off-the-shelf products that really help people who are blind or visually impaired. The first one I think of in my mind is the Kindle we just talked about recently, the Paperwhite, right, which now has a little plug that is audible. So if you have a Kindle and you want to read a book, you plug in the audible cord, and now it reads it out loud to you. The whole device is $190. I mean, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The new iPhone update that just came out a few weeks ago has a magnifier built in, not as an app, but actually in the system. So for the first time, I can open my my iPhone, and I can increase the magnification just like I can with a $500 device that we have in the store, a portable magnifier. And it's in the accessibility menu. It's free. So you can't beat that, right?
No, yeah.
And that's a consumer off the shelf. And that's what I mean. That's kind of the future of, I think, what we're seeing in the future of things. We've also heard a lot about the Internet of Things in people's homes. You know, we have a talking thermostat in our store that,
right,
we show to people. You say, hello, thermostat, you know, and those kinds of products are on the marketplace in many, many ways. We'll be talking to Alexa and Amazon Echo, being able to look up the best cookbook in the United States, and then they tell you the title of it. You say, Alexa, buy that. And sitting from your easy chair, you can buy something, or you can get the weather report, or get the sports scores. And that is all great for, again, less than $200. The talking part of Siri now is all voice activated. You don't have to push a button to talk to Siri. You can just have your iPhone sitting on the desk and say, hello, Siri, or hello, Alexa, or hello, Cortana.
Right.
So all of those devices are really going to be helpful. So that's really the future in consumer devices. What else is new? You know, the headborne devices we've talked about have been new, like the, starting way back with the, what's called the Elvis or the eSight unit. And now the new eyes is brand new, and that's recently been developed, and it's wireless, and it has a full Android system. So again, now we have eyeglasses that are also upgradable, that are also very much connected to the internet and all the capabilities. So for the very first time, just the last few months, we have the new eyes. What a change we could see that will be happening with that. I talk about people understanding the visual skills and the training, though, that's needed to use these devices properly and to get them the most out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we've come in as a rehabilitation team. What are some of the other new things? Well, we call wearables, that's the big thing right now, right?
Right.
We have the Apple Watch. And the Apple Watch, which I recently got, has been kind of great. It's yesterday I was very tired after our road show. I was in the van coming home with Sandra, and my watch came up and said, take a few deep breaths. And I didn't realize I really was pretty stressed and pretty tired. So the other day it told me to stand up and walk around for 1 minute. I was watching the Cubs game for hours without standing up.
Right.
Those are really good for everybody, as well as the blind who need help and reminders to be healthy and get out of your chair. A wearable called Lumo Lift will keep your posture straight. I know as a tall, visually impaired person, I'm always leaning over to try to read something, and this little device buzzes. You have it on your T-shirt or whatever, and it reminds you to sit up straight. What a great device, you know, to help as you get older to keep your posture straight and all these things that you can now wear. We had something called Spider Sense, a little sensors right in your T-shirt that would help you sense things as you get closer to them. So I think all of this technology is pretty amazing. Finally, the indoor mobility technology. We've talked about the beacons, being able to navigate through a facility and have the facility, these iBeacons talking to your smartphone, telling you, turn right at the next corner for the low vision clinic. Your elevators are behind you to the left. What a fantastic thing, you know, to be able to have now for the first time. And see how all of these things are now connecting one to another. We're even going to have beacons on traffic signals in the future, so that when you get to a corner, it's going to be able to help you navigate that intersection as a pedestrian. What a great thing. And then, of course, we finally talk about the future of getting around with driverless technology, of course, which isn't quite here yet. But we've already seen glimpses of vehicles like the Elf we had here as an electric bicycle. Imagine having sensors on a device like that. So if you wanted to go to the grocery store and you live a mile and a half away, that you could take an electric vehicle without a license or without having to buy insurance or so forth to be able to get around. All of these things are available now, and when you put it all together in your mind, you can kind of see where we're going for the future, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, it sounds like something very exciting.
Our YouTube channel is CHI Lighthouse. When you go to YouTube, just type in CHI Lighthouse. Also, the American Foundation for the Blind has something called Access World. You can go right to their website. You can download the app. It's called AFB Access World. And they do reviews on all these technology things every month. And they'll send you an email so that you can keep up with all these devices. So that's what I want to say to the eye doctors, and let them know that the future is now. The future is here.
Well, they should be very impressed with that. A lot of that information they may not have, as we've talked about in the past. And, of course, all of those products that you mentioned there, we've covered here on Tom's Corner. But you can also go to the road shows and try them out. And there are just a few left, aren't there?
There are. We're getting down to the last several road shows. And coming up next week, we have our main township show, which is in Park Ridge on Ballard Road, and that's from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock on Wednesday, October 19th. And then also October 25th is a Tuesday the following week at Mount Prospect Public Library from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So see you in the northwest suburbs. That's my old stomping grounds. And I hope you can come and meet our staff and see what all this new technology and independent living aids are all about.
All right. I think everyone will enjoy that talk when you give it later on today at the American Academy of Ophthalmology Conference, the low vision section.
Yeah.
Look for that and look for Tom. He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
If you are a veteran looking for a job, or if you know an unemployed veteran, Paralyzed Veterans of America's Employment Office, Operation PAVE at the Hines VA in Chicago can help. Our services are free. To learn more, visit OperationPAVE.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
That's it.
That's
going to do it for us this week.
Yeah, it really is.
So you're going somewhere exotic and you don't know where.
I don't know. For my 40th birthday, my husband's taking, my mom is flying in from California to watch the kids for a week.
Wow, you'll probably have a little sarong on, you know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Be so wrong as far as
my husband and I have never had a vacation together.
Really?
Yeah. It's true. I mean, little TJ came along right away.
It's vacations are fun.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
You'll go your way, he'll go his way.
You know what? We actually do very well when we don't have the outside stressors of life to manage.
I bet you do. Yeah, a lot of people do.
We do.
Well, anyway, speaking of outside stressors, we don't want to stress the guys from Mighty House out because they're waiting in the hallway. But we do want to thank Dr. Janet Slick for her backing and support, as well as the board at the Chicago Lighthouse for our Beacon program now in its 8th year. And, of course, Sandra Murillo, our associate producer who comes up with these great stories, even the yoga story that you like.
Love it.
She's been experimenting, looking around the world and where we can call and get some instant feedback. We're actually happy about that. Brian Hawkins, our executive producer, now associate, our assistant director at Chris Radio, does a great job in producing this show every week. I'm Bill Schurer.
I'm Lainey Freeman.
And we will be back here for the, believe it or not, middle of October show. Have a great week. We'll see you next week right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk.